Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday morning service in South Carolina. Let's praise and worship the Lord.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Yeah.
Lord, I ask you to be here with us, to open up the ears and the hearts of those that are here and that will hear your message so that they can hear and receive that which you have for us today. And I ask you, Lord, to be with your ministers. Give them the words. Give them what you have for us to hear. And we thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Give the Lord a cheer. Let me see this for a sec. It's a beautiful song we just heard. Jesus, lover of my soul. Second line, Jesus, I will never let you go. Is that your testimony? Have you come to the place where you actually believe the word, that you realize that you need him? Amen. He doesn't need you. He is pleased to have you. He loves you. He loves your soul. And he will set your feet upon that rock. And you will know, if you choose him, if you choose to know. Do you want to come to the light? Do you want to come to that life that is within men that Brother Davey was talking about? If that's the place that you want to be, it is available to you. If this song is not a testimony of that which is in your heart, make it so. Quit messing around. Another song that we sing, soon and very soon, we're going to meet the King. Going to see the King. Well, amen. What are you going to do when you see him? What's he going to do? You're going to see him. Period. Whether you die, which is going to be pretty soon. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, a few years here or there, when you're looking at eternity, that's very soon. Or, when he calls up. Soon and very soon. I mean, this stuff is now. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's pretty simple. It's understandable. That's something that's easy enough for even me to get. Amen? This Bible is God's Word. There's promises in here that folks have stepped out in and received that which was promised. There's prophecies of things that are to come. There's the history of what's transpired before. It is all here for you to understand and know. All you got to do is go after it. Jesus would not be fair if he was hiding anything. He wouldn't be trustworthy if there was something that you couldn't get. His plan was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He sent his only begotten Son to die on that cross because he loved your soul. When he's over, couple chapters later on here, he's over in the, was it the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying? And he says, I have lost none of those whom you've given unto me. You guys remember that? There he's referring to the apostles. You know, save Judas, who betrayed him. But he kept each and every one of them that he was charged to keep. If you give yourself to Jesus, he will keep you. God's word will not fail. It will not fail. It has never failed. It isn't failing, and it never will fail. It's that simple. There is no plan B. You got God's plan? Folks got their own plans. God doesn't have my plan with a few modifications, custom sized and prepared for Scott. No, he's got his plan. And if I want to partake of that plan, then I should join him and move forward in him. He doesn't have a plan for failure because he knows there isn't going to be one. You know who thinks that there's going to be a failure? Satan. He's so wrapped up in his own dang pride that he actually thinks he's going to win this one. He's got a lot of folks out there convinced to join him. He's got a lot of folks out there that think that they're serving the Lord, but they ain't serving nothing but their own pride. It's time we shed ourselves of those things. Jesus did and said all that the Father would have him do and say. He did not one thing in vain. Not one. Not one. And he got up on that cross and he gave himself as a sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, to save each and every one of you. Because he loved your souls. Because he loved God. Are you going to lay down your life? Are you going to give over your life to Jesus so that he can keep it for you? Are you going to serve him? I got a few nods out there. I ain't got an amen yet. And I got a few quiet ones. Let's get ourselves to that place where that's all that we want to do. Serve him. Please him. A lot of this pride stuff, it's an interesting thing because we do these things, you know, whatever it might be, in pride because it makes us feel good and we think that, you know, we're loving ourselves and, you know, that's so, man, that's great. But you're not loving yourself with the right love. You're loving yourself with that Philios sort of love. If you want to rightly love yourself, you love yourself with that agape love of God. And that will point you to the truth. It will show you where you're wrong, where you need to change, where you need to seek Him for help. And if you truly love yourself and you truly love those around you, things are going to start changing. That Holy Spirit's going to start moving. You're going to start seeing that power of God work through you for the love of those around you. For your wives, for your children, for your friends, for your other extended family, for the folks walking down the road. And if that's what you want to see, seek Him. Find Him. Don't let Him go.
Scott was preaching, Philippians 3:16 came to mind, which says, nevertheless, and let me stop right there. You really need to read Philippians chapter 3 to see the context of where he's coming from, because he's not coming from, I am there, I have arrived, I do all things right, and things like that. But he comes down to the point where he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now that's an interesting one. This is actually verse 15. Because how often do we find ourselves where we find that that which we did was not right? We thought it was right, but it wasn't right. And yet you see in this verse where if we will just do that which we know, and when we are corrected, now we know a new thing, and just do it. Isn't that what this is saying? Isn't that the hope we have? That God shall reveal even this unto us? In Christ there is only hope. Period. It's why we can move and go forth and stand and minister. Not because we can do it, but because He is able. Amen. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So it really doesn't matter where you are, where you're not. But that which you know, use.
The urgency that Scott touched on is, we have had an example of that here in town in the last, not this town, in Charleston in the last 4 or 5 days. The guys, 9 people sit down for a Bible study, and the last thing they ever did. The truth is, what you learn out of that isn't you quit inviting strangers into your Bible study for fear. It is understanding that Jesus is your life. And it's all that matters. You know, I've often over the last 3 or 4 days wondered how many people are going to get the lesson they're going to learn from this is that we hide behind the four walls and we don't do anything. We don't take the gospel. We don't let people come in to our gatherings. The absolute wrong thing to conclude from that, the right thing to conclude from that, is to overcome evil with love, overcome darkness with the light of the Word, and watch it flee. That's the right thing. We sit, and last Sunday and this past Thursday evening, we got some good preaching on the power of the blood, the completeness of the work that it did, the life that is in the blood. Jesus' blood that got sprinkled over the altar for us. The life is still in that blood. He is still working today. He's working in everyone who has committed themselves to Him and who has received Him. And who has chosen to give their lives to Him to do with as He would. Back in John chapter 1, Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I realize I'm violating my own rules and I'm going to cherry pick some passages, some verses here, but that's a prerogative I'm going to take this morning. On down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word out of verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His work was sufficient. His blood was sufficient. The sacrifice was complete. And we're left without excuses. The world isn't nice to me is not an excuse. I don't feel like it's not an excuse. Because the truth of the testimony of the Word is His provision is total and complete for those who will seek to do His thing and abandon their own. And His thing is for us to be going around showing the same thing that Jesus did. I don't know where the hearts of everybody that was in that church are, but I'll tell you what. The interviews I saw of the family members were ones of people turning the other cheek and saying, I'm going to choose to forgive you and love you anyway. That was a powerful testimony. That was showing Jesus. And I praise God for that. Everybody got to see that. That's what our testimony is. Our testimony is the goodness of Jesus Christ. Our job is to show Him to other people. That pleases the Father. That was His purpose. That was His plan. We get to be partakers. Ministers in that plan. That's a great thing. And ultimately that is the power. The gospel is the power of love. Love God, love one another. That's the new law. Simple. You get to show how committed you are to doing that. And you need to be able and willing even if it requires your life. Because you don't know when it's going to, and it will. I'm here to tell you, it will. It has required your life. It's not yours anymore, it's His. And I would say, especially when it requires your life, it's going to require your life. What's that to you? It was His to begin with. That's a good thing. Because without him, look, it's still going to require your life. It's just that your end's not in such good shape. The good news is you don't have to be there. The good news is that Paul tells, I believe it's Timothy, that his faithfulness is secure. He is able to keep that which you've committed to him against that day of judgment. When you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, he is true and faithful. It's you get to show the world out there his goodness and his faithfulness. I was overcome in seeing many of those family members showing his love and his goodness. And I would like to think that they could have taken any one of us and put us in the same place and had the same testimony. But it is, it's check time, it's gut check time. It is where is your trust, where is your faith? Are you still playing the idolatry game and lording your own life? Or have you turned it over to Jesus Christ? And are you ready if you just took your last breath to trust in him? 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. In his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's the truth, and it just doesn't get any better than that. That's our good news.
Essentially, Paul, what you're looking at, and as you were up here, one of the things I was looking at was Romans 12. What does it say? It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm selfish. I am. One of those things where you get a lot going on, you go, Lord, you're taking me now, all right. But it doesn't mean I'm actually in the right place for that. Because it shows my own selfishness in that. But it is a choice. You're talking about it costing your life. It already has costed your life. It already has. Your life becomes his. I mean, that's the choice that we're talking about here, isn't it? I mean, that's the place where we say, Lord Jesus Christ. We love that Savior part, but that's where we say, Lord, He is Lord over my whole life. Everything. That's a choice we make. And many of us, as the day goes on or as time goes on, we are constantly, there's this battle of trying to grab that lordship back. We want to grab that old, we want to be Lord of our lives. You might sit back and say, oh no, I don't. Try to do what you're told to do and not complain about it. Or have a better idea about it. So even though it'll make no sense to you, you don't see how. You can. I tell you what I struggle with. I struggle with the ability to. But it ain't about my ability. It's about what He's done. His ability. His strength. His power. His love. And before we came to Christ, we loved that Savior part, but then we want to hang on to that Lord part. We got two different things going on here. When we become Lord of our own life, how bad was it? I mean, I know for me, it was pretty night and day. It sucked. I mean, take a look. Look back for a sec. And this isn't groveling in it and you stay in that place, but just look back. Life without Christ was terrible. It was jail. It was death. It was destruction. It was misery. No love at all. Bondage. He's offering you this better thing. But then we turn around and say, I want it back. I mean, isn't that what the children of Israel did? You know, Robin, you were talking about something that was interesting. You know, you're talking about kind of going forward, and then you're talking about, and God shall even reveal this unto us. In the sense of, there's a light being shined of our, we get corrected on how we've been doing things. We get corrected on the way we've been doing things. Well, praise God. When you get that correction, go forward in that. Go forward in the better way that you found out. I know for me, it's not an easy thing. Because it is just that. A light shined in a dark place. And when that light is being shined in a dark place, it shows all those areas in my heart. That are not of Him. It reveals the pride. It reveals the stubbornness. It reveals the rebellion. It reveals that me trying to hang on to my own life, doing my own thing. And then I look, and I see, and I look, and I go, what am I to do? Part of me wants to give up and says, this is too big, this is too hard, and there's no way I can do it. Be honest with you. And I don't mind being honest with you, because I'm a freaking stinking sinner. And I don't care if you know about it. So I look at it. And I have a choice to make. I can look to His ability. I can look for the price that He paid up on the cross. And I can accept that. And I can receive that blood of the Lamb. And take on that forgiveness and that love that He has for me. And then I can choose to stand in Him. Regardless of all those areas that I see. And regardless of if I think I'm capable of doing something or not. The how-to or the time or whatever the case may be. Because there is a history of faithfulness with the Lord. That He has shown Himself faithful time and time and time again. And I can trust that. And as those areas that are like a light in a dark place, I can let those things go. And I can move on in that better way. See, with our, and that's the point where we come not to lean on our own understanding, because I can look with my carnal mind and I can look with my own understanding and I say, this is impossible. There is no way this is possible. But the Scripture says, trust in the Lord and lean not on thine own understanding. And what the thing is that the way that the Lord is trying to show you is a better way. What does His Scripture say? It says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not trying to stack the stuff on you. He's trying to take it off. It's we that are stacks the stuff on our shoulders and the weights of this world and the things that we're looking at. And the enemy's MO is our own carnal mind that looks at that thing and says, man, that's just too much. Can't do it. It's impossible. Well, wasn't impossible for Abraham to grab onto the faith of Jesus Christ? Wasn't impossible for the children of Israel to take on the promised land. It wasn't impossible for any of those that you read in Hebrews 11. You know why it wasn't impossible for them? In their own strength, yes, it's impossible. They couldn't do it in their own strength. They couldn't have took on Jericho in their own strength. They couldn't make the rock pour out water in the desert. They couldn't make manna rain from heaven. Well, they couldn't have. Not in their own strength. It was the Lord that did all that. So who do we trust? If we trust Him, if we trust Him, then we're going to make Him Lord. Let's make that choice. I need to make that choice. We all need to make that choice. Amen?
Mountains bow down, every ocean roars.